Still talking about the Port Huron to Mackinac race. Some of the boats are in. Some of the boats are still yet to arrive. Dennis Stuckey will have that covered for us at 10 o'clock this morning here on WPHM. Whether you're on Mackinac Island or Port Huron or anywhere in between, wear a mask. That is now the executive order of the governor that takes effect today, and it's been interesting to see the reactions to this. Pretty predictable, actually, when the governor announced on Friday, didn't actually even announce, just issued the executive order that as of today, masks are required in all public places, particularly indoors, but even in crowded outdoor settings. If you can't socially distance, you must wear a mask, and it'll be interesting to see whether this is enforced, how it's enforced, and whether this will increase the number of people wearing masks.
Reading some of the text of the order here, the executive order takes place at 12:01 a.m. Monday, July 13th. So that is actually now. The law of the land.
At the stroke of midnight or just
a willful violation of the order is a misdemeanor subject to a $500 criminal penalty. Wow. But no term of confinement may be imposed, so you won't go to jail, but you will you could be subject to a fine. No individual is subject to penalty under the order for removing a mask while engaging in religious worship at the house of worship. So again, we see the exception being made for the religious community, which was kind of excluded from some of the earliest restrictions that were put on in the state, excluded houses of worship from it. Congregants are strongly encouraged to wear a face covering, however, during religious services. That part of that executive order, but yeah, you're right, Paul. This adds a little bit more teeth, to what was already the law, which the executive order stated that early on that you must wear a mask, but there wasn't really any penalty for this. This now creates an actual fine, but how it's going to be enforced, who's going to enforce it, who's not going to enforce it, remains. Remains a question. Paul, we've already seen a few police departments come out and say that they do not plan on issuing any citations or fines for disobedience.
I shared with you over the weekend, Caleb, the one that I found from the Sandusky, Michigan Police Department up in Sanilac County. And they say, in part in this press release that I'm looking at right now, based on the large number of executive orders issued by Governor Whitmer, the Sandusky Police Department is asking the public to contact the Michigan Attorney General, and they list the phone number, with any complaint you have regarding any of the governor's executive orders, including the most recent one requiring face masks to be worn in public buildings. Please do not in all caps, contact the Sandusky Police Department to file a complaint, reference a person possibly violating any of the governor's executive orders. We will only refer you to the above listed phone number. And the reason, I'll go back to the first paragraph in this release. It says, during the recent COVID-19 pandemic, Governor Whitmer has so far issued 147 executive orders. Some of the executive orders rescinded previous executive orders, and some of the executive orders modify previous ones. For local law enforcement, they say this has become a very confusing issue as to what's enforceable and what's not enforceable. So they find the governor's executive orders too confusing to police.
Well, I guess I could maybe understand some of that argument with the sheer amount. And yes, we have seen a lot of orders. I'm not gonna argue against that.
But what they're saying is, if somebody calls the Sandusky Police Department and says, "Look, we've got somebody that refuses to wear a mask in this business," they're gonna say, "Don't call us. Call the Attorney General's office. We're too confused by these laws."
Right. But that is problematic, because the executive orders that issued by the governor, unless they have been overturned by a court, so far the courts have held up. her power to issue these orders.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the court seems to be, and I, you know, it feels to me like they're dragging their feet. They need to rule on this quickly because this has been before the courts for months now.
Yeah,
the question of how much power does the governor have in terms of issuing executive orders?
Well, the court of claims said she does have the power to do this even after that 30-day mark, and now it is going to be going to the state Supreme Court.
But that was like 3 months ago.
But until we get word, this is the state legislature. Back in the 40s, and then again in the 70s, the state legislature approved these emergency powers acts and gave the governor powers to do this. So,
here's what the governor keeps doing. She keeps extending her. And she does this without, you know, the consent of anybody else. She says, I'm going to extend my emergency powers by another 30 days. And she keeps doing this and doing it. And, you know, what's to stop her from just doing it in perpetuity?
Well, until there is clarification, it still has the effect of law. It is the law of what she orders until for some reason that we figure out that maybe that those powers aren't granted. But until that happens, Paul, to see that law enforcement isn't enforcing what is the law is a little bit concerning.
Yeah. Here's the other thing that some businesses are doing to circumvent this, and I don't know if you've seen any of this on social media. This is a business in Sanilac County that posted the following. Attention customers, those in our lovely state government have ordered all persons entering indoor facilities to wear a mask. While we support the use of masks and everyone's opinions about them, if you have a medical condition that prevents you from wearing one, you're exempt from this order. And then they say, due to HIPAA laws and the Fourth Amendment, we cannot legally ask you about your medical condition. Therefore, if we see you without a mask, we'll assume you have a medical condition and we'll welcome you inside to support our business. Thank you for shopping with us. And I've seen several businesses posting that sentiment.
The other argument that I've been seeing was the Americans with Disability Act being used as saying that you might be disabled if you can't wear a mask. That's a disability, and that you cannot be refused entry to a business. However, one of the cornerstones of the ADA is a clause in there that says reasonable accommodation. So I would say that curbside service would be a reasonable accommodation that a business can make, that if you are not able to comply with the mask order, I think pretty much every business trying to earn as much business as possible right now is going the extra mile to do curbside and delivery and all of that,
sure.
Paul. So I would say that is a reasonable accommodation that can be made for someone who is truly either disabled or has a medical issue that cannot wear a mask. There are those accommodations in place. So you can still go to these places and purchase things at your favorite place of business without stepping foot inside if you cannot comply with that order.
The sad thing is the people that end up bearing the brunt of this are the people that are just the wage earners that are, you know, there to greet you and seat you at the restaurant, check out your groceries, things like that. These are the people that are on the front lines that have to bear the brunt of people being belligerent and indignant about wearing masks. And, you know, just folks, wear a mask. Just put the mask on. To go to the store, to go to the restaurant. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, no, it's not.
But the legal ramifications are huge.
Yeah,
I understand.
It's weird. It's still not, doesn't feel normal. It can still be uncomfortable, and it's not something that you're used to. But it's something that I think you should get used to, because I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And
no, I don't think so.
And, you know, it's still, I think, still is just the intersection of politics and health here, where I think some of the things that you were just mentioning, Paul, whether it's the business who is in, maybe not encouraging, but the business who is explaining some loopholes, if you will, or if it's the police department saying we don't want to enforce it, I think it all comes down to politics. And it's a political argument when it should really be a public health argument.
Yeah, and I just don't know that we're ever going to shake that political stigma from this issue. I think it's going to remain a dividing line. But nonetheless, the new law is today. You do need to wear a mask when you go into a public place. One other thought on the masks, Caleb. I don't know if you've run into this or not. When I'm in a store wearing a mask, I feel like I almost kind of recognize people, but I'm not sure if it's them because of the mask. I see other people doing this too, and so you get that sort of sideways squinting look like, are you the person I think you are?
Yeah, my antidote is I saw Deb Johnson at the post office several weeks ago, and I was wearing the mask, she was wearing the mask, and you know, I said hi to her, but I don't think she knew who I was because it's hard to tell. It's really hard to tell who you are underneath a mask. I've had
It really is.
I've had that happen multiple times now. Maybe a name badge or something. You know, my name is hello. Yeah, my name is
maybe
Caleb.
That's the answer. I apologize to anybody that has smiled or waved or nodded in my direction, and I've just kind of vaguely nodded in your direction. That's the new reality.
So Deb's listening and wondering who said hi to her in the post office a couple weeks ago, it was me. But yeah,
crazy year.